This Week in Nature is brought to you by Audible.com. Sign up for your free 30 days trial at audibletrial.com/TWIA for your free audiobook. Welcome back to This Week in Nature. This is episode 108, and there's a phone call somewhere. But yeah, this week we have Dr. Bernard Leong back. Welcome back, Bernard.
Hey, hi everybody. Hey, what were you guys have a very good time last week, right?
Yeah, we had fun. Smitty still owes us cigars, so trying to get some. We're trying to get some, basically, maybe from Cameron Riley later on or something like that.
Yeah. We can buy from Cameron Riley or even get him to sponsor some of the cigars to us anyway.
I don't know, but cigar seems good. And then what were you doing last week anyway?
Last week, I had some emergency. That I was house hunting with my wife. Ooh. So, we have to look at apartments. So that's why I couldn't make it.
All right, no problem. That sounds...
that's a part about being married, yeah.
So another part that we can trash later. Well, we'll talk about that after we introduce our very special guest.
Yep.
Mohan Balani, hey, welcome on the show, man.
Hi, Mohan.
Hey, Daniel. Hey, guys.
So in case you don't know, Mohan is the face of E27, if you follow the E27 Twitter.
Yes. I think the team took the whole face of E27 thing literally. So decided to change the picture and try and spice things up a bit. I was like, yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, it was one of those days. I was like, wait a minute, is that Mohan or is that E27?
Yeah, I know. I saw the picture as well.
It caught everyone off guard, but I think it's a nice thing to try, right? You know, something different.
Well, so I mean, if you're in Asia, you should know about E27, and I mean they run some of the most exciting thing around, like Founder String and Echelon. But in case those who are new to E27, can you just give our audience a quick brief?
Sure. I mean, we've been around for quite a while now, since like 06, 07. And, we regularly run startup and tech events. And our most prominent one is Echelon. You know, so last year's event was the first time we ran it, like, across the entire region. We had it in Singapore, Malaysia, Jakarta, and in Hong Kong. And we've taken things like an entirely new step further this year by having it in six different cities across Asia. And we're actually really blessed to have the support of the Taiwanese startup community and the Tokyo startup community. So we also going to hold satellite events over there. And I mean, the focal point of the event is still the Singapore one. You know, that's the main event in June. So the satellite events are really a way for us to bring the Echelon experience around the region and to all the different communities across the entire region.
Yeah, I met up with Alvin Woon from TMI VC, and they are really excited over Echelon. I'm not too sure whether they have confirmed, but it's speculated they are actually giving a seat for the winner, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Oh yeah, they are our Taiwanese partners who are helping us on the ground getting the event up, and they're considering supporting one of the companies who makes it the event to come all the way to Singapore. So we're very excited by that, and I think that is a very good affirmation of the kind of support that the local communities are giving us to Echelon. Yeah. So we're definitely looking forward to having that happen.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, forward to hear more. But let's go to the big story. Actually, was just breaking not too long ago. Recently, Apple announced that they have $100 billion in their bank, and they're going to spend $40 billion to buy back shares and to pay dividends to the staff. I mean, is this the end of an era? I mean, this is something Steve Jobs would not actually do.
Yeah, I don't think that he would have done that, but I think that there's a lot of pressure coming from Wall Street with regards to that. So they have to do something anyway. But the way they structure the payback and the purchase of stock is actually takes quite some time, so they wouldn't spend it so quickly, but they just want to appease the shareholders of Apple, not just the institution shareholders, but everyone else. Yeah.
Go ahead, Mohan.
I think Apple is in a very different stage, in a different life cycle of its company, and you know, we're going to see a lot of fresh, new, interesting things that Tim is going to introduce. You know, and of course, one of this is the buyback scheme. So I think while everyone still has the whole mentality that, you know, Apple should be run the way Steve Jobs thinks it should, I think it will be interesting to see the kind of changes that Tim brings into the company and how he, you know, how he really looks at the company and the ecosystem and even the working with the shareholders differently compared to how Steve used to look at it.
I
should just add one thing. So a couple of things that they have been doing that is quite different from Steve Jobs. I mean, just not about this share buyback, but and then recently I don't know whether it's really a gesture or whatever, they offered to settle some of the patent disputes for $15 per handset. I know it's like what Microsoft did, which is $10 per handset, but they're trying not to go on a thermonuclear war these days. So I think there's kind of a slowly transitioning from the Steve Jobs to Tim Cook kind of era.
I know the last iPad, I mean the most recent, the new iPad is sort of like a Steve Jobs era product. But I mean, do you see, was it expected? I mean, the Retina display and everything?
Do you plan to get one?
I've honestly never really followed all these iPad launches, so I don't know. I don't even have an iPad until today. You know, the only one I have at home is actually owned by my mom, so I never really cared to a certain extent. But I think, I mean, you see, Apple, I think, faces a problem, you know, and its biggest enemy is actually itself, not its competitors, because they keep pushing their bar higher and higher. And they also realize that, you know, if they don't control the hype of their own products, it's going to lead to the company having, you know, bigger problems long term. So I think as much as Apple wants to push the envelope of its products, it realizes that it has to also control the amount of new amazing things that it's releasing. But I think Apple's biggest competitor is really itself.
Yeah, how about you? Are you actually planning to buy it or something like that?
I took a look at it. I really couldn't distinguish it between an iPad 2 and the new iPad. No. I didn't buy it because I thought there's no 4G connection in this part of the world in Asia. Just in case a lot of people from the US listening to this podcast, you know, in Asia, most of the networks, telecommunications companies have not actually upgraded to the 4G network yet. So it's actually, I mean, even if you have the Retina display, is just not something that I would want to upgrade for unless I have, you know, network access.
Well, I'm not sure I'm going to buy it yet, but it depends whether my mate will show me and, like, taunt me with it. I mean, I'm already buying Apple shares already, so that is another story.
Oh, so you're getting some dividend buybacks, right?
Yeah, hopefully. But $100 profit so far, so it's quite good.
Hey, you know, you have to disclose these type of things, you know.
Yes, that's why I'm disclosing now that, yeah, but I'm such a small shareholder, it doesn't make sense anyway, so. I saw the photos from Singapore, people were actually camping out for buying that. Was that the first time in Singapore that ever happened?
I think it happens all the time.
Yeah, it happens all the time, yeah.
Really?
Definitely not the first time.
Wow.
Yeah. And generally from what I heard, right, it apparently wasn't as bad this time around as before. So I don't think that the local audience was that crazy about it. But I did see a lot of my friends on Facebook like going crazy over the pre-orders and stuff like that. So I mean, Apple will always be Apple, so you know.
Yeah.
I think they will always be in demand, you know, at least in the next few years.
Well, it's always and I believe the shareholders say that they actually have to wait for the board of directors to approve the dividends, but who's going to reject money? Well, maybe except for Flocation, I think. Flocation recently rejected $250,000 from Angelsgate. Angelsgate is this, it's sort of modeled after Dragon's Den over in UK and Shark Shark Tank over in US, where startups actually, entrepreneurs actually pitch to a bunch of angels or investors and ideas, and this is Singapore's incarnation of it. Bernard, what happened actually?
Well, kind of, I mean, just to give a little bit of background, the guys behind Angels Stand, is a company called Interactive.sg run by this guy called Ash Singh.
Yeah, just a disclosure again, he's my co-winner for the first startup weekend in Singapore.
Right, and he's also the, and his father-in-law, who's one of the very well-known, I think it's the chairman of Thai, maybe Mohan can correct me if I'm not wrong. So there's Ken Mandel, there is William Klipgen, who's a pretty well-known angel in Singapore, mm-hmm. and one more guy who I don't know who he is. So what happens is that they basically offered one of the JFDI startups, I think Flocations, one of the 10, I think was 33.3%, one-third of the company for 250K. So the question is, Mohan, will you take it or not?
No. Definitely not.
And why?
Well, let me be honest, lah. When it comes to fundraising, right, I think especially like with the this is my view of things, okay? Especially mm-hmm. with the first round of investment, with a startup this small and, you know, this interesting and this talented, right? I think it's a lot more than just going on a platform like that and making a split second decision. I mean, that works very nice for TV. But the reality of the situation is you want to spend some time with the investors and make sure you're bringing on a group of people who can really help build your business and add value to what you're doing. I think I respect the backgrounds of all the angels and what they've done in the past. I respect, you know, Ash as an entrepreneur for putting the show together. But I just felt that for an early stage company, you know, that soon, they should really be thinking a lot harder on who they want to bring. So the question wasn't about valuation. The real question was whether, you know, any of those four angels was really, really valuable to come on the team, take a sizable chunk of investment, and you know, really be of value at that stage. You know, I think that was a bigger issue.
I think one of the investors, I think was it William? I think he did some travel search engine. He invested in a couple of travel search engine companies in India and China under the BFF spectrum. So I was actually quite surprised. I mean, he definitely has done something on this, but I was surprised that that the valuation was. I mean, I guess it was for the sake of TV that they did. You know, they pull out some kind of stunt on this. But I think it's also. I guess there's some of the angels are actually quite experienced. They have done this. They have actually invested in companies in this space, the space that Flocations is in. So I think
I think the angels do realize that, you know, travel is an extremely competitive market.
Yeah.
And there are very good established travel portals in the region. You know, like there's some very good ones in the US as well. And for them to branch out to this region, you know, isn't as complicated now with all the affiliate networking systems available online. Mm. But the bigger issue I felt, right, was whether from a personality and cultural fit perspective, whether the investor and the entrepreneurs would match. And in any case, right, if there was a strong synergy of ideas and passions, regardless of whether a product like Flocation or not will work, I think the founders would have been smart enough, the investor would have been smart enough to pivot and try something else anyway. You know, so if this was just purely from a money valuation perspective, then, you know, maybe not the best idea. But if the startup guys, you know, if Flocation guys really felt that the investors could bring real value to the team, then I think the first round of investments, the valuation wouldn't have really mattered. That is my honest take, like, for your first round.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. And how long have they got to decide, actually, about?
15 seconds.
15 seconds?
Yeah, it's a matter of seconds.
It's way too short to actually look through it and to find a perfect match. But it's just a question, because I am not too familiar. I haven't been following the show. Has there any interesting startups that actually came up from the show? And has there any one actually took up the offer from the angel?
I think there have been, you know. I don't remember. I've probably watched a few episodes, and I think there should have at least been, you know, something that happened. The key question I have, though, is if let's say a startup were to say yes and an angel were to say yes, is the kind of decision cast in stone?
No, actually, no. Well, I'm not sure about Angel's Gate, but from my knowledge about Dragon's Den, no, it's just they agree upon that, and then they will go through the final details after the show.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually, there's some implications as well. In Singapore, the any verbal agreement is legally binding. So you might have some, there's some implications to that. I know in the UK, I do recall it is, but I think they have to give some leeway to this, I guess. Most likely they sign some form of, in the agreement when they appear on the show. Yeah, I think there must be some,
Because then, you know, if the angel, whichever angel is really, really interested in what they do, he would have pursued the deal after anyway. He would have, you know, probably asked the guys out for coffee, and then they would have really sat down and discussed things a bit further. And then maybe the right offer, you know, would have been made. So I think it was a good choice then to just walk out from there.
Yeah, just to let you know, when I was living in the UK, I actually know one of the angels, Dragon's Den, Doug Ellis, actually. And he was saying that to do this kind of thing, sometimes it's a little bit they were told to do a little bit of entertainment kind of thing. Mm. And they actually spent almost, I think, they actually do something like 1,000 startups screen through for nonstop for 7 full days. Just to let you know the scale where how Dragon's Den was done in that case. Yeah. So they... Yeah.
We should get Ash on the show one day, whether that guy is busy or not. Yeah,
but I guess one of the things I'm having a little concern is that I guess because it's TV, although it's TV and etc., a lot of things that people are driving down valuation. The longer term effect is that whether, you know, entrepreneurs would be able, I mean, some of the other investors might take the same cue and, you know, try to lowball the entrepreneur. So, I mean, that's my concern as well,
That could be a negative effect. I mean, but the bigger question is, like, how many of the startups that apply are actually serious about getting money in the first place? You know, I think honestly, my gut says that most of them are going there for the TV exposure. You know, the fact that their startup gets showcased on TV and stuff like that. So they're hoping that will be a way for them to get noticed, for them to you know, maybe even get a few new users. So the bigger question is, how many of them are actually really using the platform as a way to raise money? You know, and I don't think many of them are doing that yet. And that to say, right, it's not that the platform is bad. I think every platform, you know, same thing with government investments and angel investments and VC investments. Every company needs to find the right fit. So for some people, the angels, gate angels then fit is ideal. For some, it's not. So I think it's up to the startup what they really want to get out of the whole show. You know, that's the one that's most important. Yeah.
Yep.
It's like how people always bitch about government investment, right, in Singapore and how it's not good. But for some others, it has worked out very well. So it's really whether your company is the right fit.
Yep, I agree with that. Actually, want to sort of take your pick on this. So there are a lot of happenings, there are a lot of events now happening in Southeast Asia, right? You have recently Startup Asia, Singapore, and then there is the recent Demo Asia, and then the coming in will be Startup Weekend, Echelon 2010. Yeah. I kind of thought that, you know, how vibrant a startup scene is in the country is usually by its refresh rate, meaning that you don't see the same group of people over and over again. And I noticed that when I was in China, I mean, the previous year I was there, a very different group of startups come out in the second time I've been there for TechCrunch Disrupt Beijing. So there is a high refresh rate going on. And I'm seeing that happening also a little bit in Indonesia now. So my concern is whether there's going to be some form of events fatigue. I was just sort of want to pick your brain because you're in this space, you've organized a lot of events, you know, you have encountered a lot of startups. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
I would actually push that even one level further. I think it's not just the startups that are fresh. I think to a certain extent, even the speakers that people put on stage, you know, if you keep seeing the same speakers at every event, then you know maybe, you know, there just isn't enough of an ecosystem or vibrance in the area. Okay? So like my honest feel is that there was a point in time in the ecosystem when people used to say that there are not enough events, You know, there's not enough things happening on the ground. And we've reached a nice situation where there are quite a few events happening. And we're really spot, you know, startups are really spot for choice on where they should be showcasing themselves or which kind of events they should be participating in. And I think that's a happy problem to have in this ecosystem. You know, our neighbors around the region, right, a lot of them don't even have proper startup events. Yep. You know, and they are yearning for opportunities like this. So I think we shouldn't take it for granted that we have, you know, all of these opportunities over here. But you're right, though. I mean, if you see the same old startups over and over again, and if you see the same old speakers over and over again, you know, I think it's up to the guys organizing the events to really hunt for new people to showcase, to hunt for new speakers, and to keep things fresh. You know, so sometimes it's just pure laziness that event organizers pick the same group of people. And also to a certain extent, sometimes it's just out of fear, right? You're not sure whether a new speaker or a new startup will be able to do a good job on stage. So, you know, yeah. Like, we're trying, like, for Echelon this year, right, we're really trying our best not to reuse speakers from last year. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really difficult, you know, because I think that the event that June organized last year, right?
Yeah.
Okay. She really showcased a lot of really good people. So I'm actually struggling trying to find like amazing people to showcase this year. But I'm quite glad to say that we actually managed to not like use the same old speakers. The other thing that would be good also, right, for speakers, right, is to put them in a different position. So if you have a specific speaker who keeps, you know, being a panelist in many events, having him as a moderator instead, where he is forced to be in a different position and participate in a different manner, could actually add a fresh element to the event. Yep. So, you know, in fact, this is something I can say, like Sawmill, for example, from Chalkboard, you know, Bernard, your partner.
Oh, yeah.
He's quite a regular at panels in events. So this year, I told him, let's do it a bit differently. Why don't you be a moderator instead? Moderate a panel of other new speakers, you know, in the mobile space. So we're trying, you know, different styles like this to see how that will work. It works or not, I don't know, but I think it's worth the effort to try.
I think it's a good idea not to have too much the same speakers over again. After all, startup space is like a space where you want to get new ideas, you know, new people, and there are a lot. I mean, entrepreneurship is kind of like, you know, the kind of like, you know, everybody comes in and joins this system, etc. You know. And get them to be part of the system. And I think the system is refreshing a lot more. Yeah, on that.
Yeah. And we're trying our best to bring in a lot more regional speakers as well. You know, the Vietnamese scene is... You see, a lot of times people don't really know what happens in the region until they're really there or they really meet people who are very on the ground. Uh-huh. So we're trying to pull these people out, get them to talk about what's happening locally. And a lot of these guys are fresh faces you've never seen. But when you dig into their profile, right, they're actually very accomplished people in their own regions. So I think this is one of the ways that we're trying to keep things fresh and keep things different. And at the same time, you know, speakers who were showcased last year shouldn't feel like they were not good, so they are not showcased this year. No, it's just our way of keeping things, you know, fresh and different.
Well, yeah. Just want to move through a bit in your speakers. I mean, you just published some of in your speakers list. You have Craig Newsom, a buddy of mine from Startup Weekend and Startup Lab, Hien Go, Scott Raffer, some familiar faces, some people you haven't seen before. So, and some past alumni of Echelon, like Carmen Benitez. So, any other interesting presenters that, it's 83 days more to go, so...
Yeah. I think we have a few very interesting speakers that have that are come aboard, and we'll probably announce them in the few weeks to come. One of the ways we are contributing to the various like ecosystems around the region is by bringing in speakers from overseas. So if you go to Vietnam, for example, right, it's very common to have local Vietnamese speakers speak at events. And I think that's really valuable. But bringing in maybe a Singaporean startup, or a Chinese or a Silicon Valley startup in there, and getting them to speak about what they do, you know, in different parts of the world, really adds some level of freshness. So for all the satellites, right, we've deliberately picked a foreign speaker to talk about certain things. So that kind of adds into the local freshness of every event.
So give us an example, actually.
So, okay, simple example. that we just confirmed. So so in Philippines, right, we've got the local speaker, Jay Fajardo.
Yeah.
He's the guy who runs the Startup Weekend. So he'll be speaking about the local ecosystem, you know, what he sees locally. We're actually bringing in Lobang Club, GUI, Singapore-based startup founder, one of the winners of the Top 50 Ads event, to go in and speak about building apps, location-based systems, you know, how do you focus on local versus global and stuff like that. So that gives the entire Philippines satellite, right, a very different feel. You know, we bring in a foreign speaker, so there's foreign ideas as well. And one of the things is we're trying to fly investors around as well. So you don't just get the local angels coming, you get foreign investors, foreign angels coming in and partaking in the satellite events as well. So that way, you know, the few people who cannot fly out of their countries, they at least get to meet some foreign investors in the satellite events. And all of this is really done free for the local ecosystem. So that way we try and give back to the local communities.
Okay, interesting. When are the dates for actually all the satellite and etc.?
So we have the days up on our site. It's quite a few days. So just let me just run through the list. Jakarta is going to be on April 7th. Philippines is going to be on April 12th. And then the Singapore satellite is going to be on April 14th. Vietnam satellite is on April 17th. The Taiwan satellite is on April 24th. And the Japan satellite is on April 26th and 27th.
It's quite a busy schedule, actually.
Yeah, it's quite a massive, crazy schedule. And I can promise you that every satellite is going to be different, because the communities there are just different, and the way people do things are all very different. So the styles are going to be different as well.
So is that for countries like Malaysia or Hong Kong, I'm sorry, I have to go put this in, but yeah, hey, yeah. If we want to join, I mean, head to the closest satellite, or what?
I think the best bet would be to head to the closest satellite. And you know, in all due honesty, right? We had a really good time last year at the Hong Kong and the Malaysian satellite. But I wasn't there personally, but I know the team was there. And what we really wanted
club,
to do,
man, come on.
Yeah, I was in a club last year. And what we really wanted to do is to bring the experience to more countries and more places. So it's unfortunate that we didn't get to do, you know, Hong Kong and Malaysia this year. I mean, we have a very, very small team of like 4 people. So we try to cover new places and give new ecosystems, new communities the opportunity. So if you know, Malaysian companies, I think the best bet for them is to hit for the Singapore satellite. And for Hong Kong, maybe, you know, they could hit to Taiwan or something. Yeah. Hopefully next year we'll be able to, you know, cover every major city in the region.
Well, can local startups actually send videos to you guys or something like that?
Yeah, I think you guys can just apply on the exhibition page, and the exhibition sign up page has got a quick summary. It's got videos, it's got slides, so you can attach everything so that we can all have a look at it. In fact, you know, whoever is listening to this, if you want to showcase yourself at any of these satellites, please do so. You know, sign up for it ASAP. You know, we're going to close submissions very soon. So please go to the exhibition page, submit your startups, and then the best ones that we pick will be showcased at the main event in Singapore. And we're still sticking to our style of not charging the startup companies to exhibit. You know, our only so-called charge, right, is for them to buy 2 Echelon tickets as a commitment to come to the event.
Okay. Sorry, Bernard, you were saying?
Sorry, I just wanted to ask. So in each of the satellite events, you're going to sort of pick like the best pitch and then basically get them to come for the main event in Singapore.
Yeah,
which is happening on which day? Actually, I sort of want to at least let our listeners know.
Main event in Singapore is June 11 and 12.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, I should be there, I guess.
Mm-hmm. you guys better be there.
Yeah, there's a lot of flying this year.
No, I'm going to come all the way to KL and bring you over.
Come on. That's what I want.
I live in Singapore, so I don't have a problem.
We'll do our best to make a good event, and we promise to keep things exciting for everyone. So, yeah.
Hey, I always say every Echelon, I had an extremely good time. So, it's a good place to meet old friends and network with new people. So, yeah, I really enjoyed the last two, actually. Last two, I remember. But yeah, I wasn't around the previous one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, how much are the tickets at the moment?
It's the same price as last year. You know, we've tried to keep it as low as possible. And the tickets are going at $150 right now. We've got some. Yeah, we've got a few student tickets at $60. But yeah, main tickets are at $150.
I don't think we actually have the promo code for TWIA listeners, but I think we'll post it up a bit later.
We can always announce it every week from now all the way to June 7th. And then...
yeah, that'll be great. I mean, we can get a promo code for you guys, and you know, you guys can help us with the announcements. That'll be really nice.
Just a quick one: the early bird will end on 1st of March at 150 Sing, and the student price is in at 12th of June at 60 Sing, and then regular price will go on to 250 Sing. Yeah. All right, awesome. This seems like a good event, and I'm looking forward to actually see more of the other speakers that you have.
Great.
You want to review.
Yeah, we've got like, I think, 40 speakers now and counting. So
40 speakers.
Yeah, you see all the announcements coming up in the next few weeks.
All right, awesome. So, Bernard, anything to add?
Nope, nothing to add.
Okay, so, well, I just want to add just one tiny news I just pick up from SG Entrepreneurs. There are more lesbian than straight women in Singapore and Malaysia, says Facebook.
I wasn't the one who wrote the story, so you probably have to summarize it for me. I saw it kind of this afternoon kind of thing. Yeah, it was done by Flocations, right? When they were doing their... Again, Flocations, yes.
Yeah, so Flocation recently... I'm just going to add this for fun because I was reading it for a while. And it was quite interesting. Essentially, Terrence and the guys of Flocation and Zane, who's currently working for what's that, JFDI? They did a quick search over on Facebook to see, like, there seem to be more lesbian women in Malaysia and Singapore compared to US.
Really?
Yeah.
Alright, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's just a funny, interesting news. But yeah, we'll put in the show notes where you can actually see the exact details of the searches. So Mohan, Belani, go ahead.
So does that mean that now everybody's going to start creating startups like fab.com?
I actually like fab.com, okay?
Hey, actually, in my days when I was when I was still doing my investments, I actually did have people who were pitching ideas like that, you know, for a gay community, you know, and lesbian community. So maybe there is some real value to that after all.
Okay, so this is a reach out for our audience, who is doing something for the LGBT community. Go and register yourself at Echelon for our exhibition.
Yeah. That's how it should probably be.
I want to see that. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So, Mohan Belani, where can actually people look for you online? Yeah. Where can people read about your stuff? Get in touch with you, etc.
They can get in touch with me by email, mohan@e27.sg. And if they want to find out anything about Echelon, it's on echelon.e27.sg. And you know, just hit us up on our Facebook page or Twitter, and then, you know, one of us will definitely respond to any of the queries.
Alright, fantastic. Bernard?
Well, just Google me, Bernard Leong. Yep, that will be fine.
And as usual, you can bring me as Cervantes, and this is Daniel Cervantes. If you we missed out our ad, actually.
Yes, you forgot about that. Audible.
Yeah, so... for our audience who actually want to get a free book, you can go to audibletrial.com/TWIA and you get one credit, which entitles you to a free audiobook for 30 days. So you got a 30 days free trial. Do you have any book to recommend, Mohan?
Like a startup book?
Like something you've been reading, anything you've been reading.
I haven't read books in a long... I think the last book I read was like The 4-Hour Body. Yeah, and I think every startup should read it, considering, you know, how much time we spend sitting down and working. So, you know, something that helps promote good health and a good body, I think that would be useful. So, yeah, go check out The 4-Hour Body.
Yeah, okay. The 4-Hour Bodies, you can actually get it over on Audible. It's written by Tim Ferriss. He also writes The 4-Hour Work Week, a fantastic book. I actually get both if possible. So, just again, go to audible.com. trial.com/TWIA for your free audiobook. And for our listeners who actually do not want to download our episode, you can always head to Stitcher Radio. We'll put the link up on our site at thisweekinasia.net. So this is Dennis Oventus signing off. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Ciao. Bye.